Welcome to the First Century Church Podcast. My name is Stephen Wilhoy, and I'm the lead pastor at First Century Church, and it is an honor to have you with us today. The goal of the podcast is simple. We want you to be encouraged, challenged, and inspired to go further in your faith than ever before. If you'd like more information about the church, you can visit our website, firstcenturykc.com. And if you happen to be in the Kansas City area anytime soon, we'd love to have you join us for one of our live gatherings to connect with you in person. Again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
So we're just going to transition right into the Word this morning. I'm going to be speaking to us a message that God has put on my heart. For some time, I have been wanting to speak about praise and worship, and then Stephen asked if I would like to preach in his Summer Psalms series, and I knew exactly what I would be speaking about. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak your words to draw us closer to you in this place. I pray that you would give me clarity of thought and speech to convey the message that you have put on my heart. Do not let a word come from my mouth that does not glorify you and build this body up in your name. Please open every heart and mind to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to talk about a couple things, but I first want to ask you a quick question. So if you haven't done this, then I don't think you're being honest. But how many of you have tried to use some kind of tool or gadget in a way that it was not designed for? Yeah, right? You're like, oh, I need to do this. Well, I don't have any. Oh, that could work. Well, for example, I got a couple little tools here. Yesterday when those guys were hammering in that or malleting in that big slide, you know, they would have had a hard time if they didn't have a mallet, first of all. Now, this mallet's a rubber mallet. I don't know if it would have helped them. But if they didn't have that mallet to do the job, it would not have gotten done because those, I think the spikes they were putting in to it to keep it down were about this long and about this thick. And it was really, really hard for them. So they had a metal mallet and they're driving it down. But if you tried to use this mallet to put in a screw, you would have problems, right? I mean, I think my handyman here, you'd probably put a hole in the wall, I think, like trying to get a screw in. Because what should we use for a screw? We should use a Phillips head screwdriver, not a mallet, not a hammer. So, and then have you ever tried, just out of desperation, try to use the wrong screwdriver? You have a Phillips head or a flathead, and you're like, I don't have the one I need, so I'm going to try to make this work. You know, it just doesn't work great. Can it work a little bit? Sure. But does it work the best it should? No, absolutely not. And then, what about this? You see this? Do you know what this is, Stephen? It's a brush. This is actually not a paintbrush. This is a makeup brush. So let's say we tried to use this eyeshadow brush for our foundation. Can you imagine, ladies, how long it would take? We could make it work, but it would be... wouldn't it be ideal, right? It would take forever. Or Laura, you know, you're a painter. If you tried to use this and you decide you want to paint your front door, you know, you're going to be painting a long time, right? I don't know about this. Have any of you tried to use like a 5-gallon bucket and tried to stand on a 5-gallon bucket before as like a stool? There you go. You fall straight through it. So these things are made. They are made to work, and our ingenuity sometimes can help us be strategic and get things done. But because we're using these items for something different than they are intended for, they'll break, they'll get scratched, they'll chip, they'll become unusable to us. But we do it out of convenience and because it's easy and we don't have what we need in the moment. But we are creatures who like quick results, right? We like things to get done quickly, and we don't want to wait if we need a different tool. But what we do learn is things will perform at their very best when they're used for the purposes they were created for. Like you and I, we were made to worship. We were made to worship God. We were made to be in close relationship with God. And when we worship God, we are closest to Him. And we operate at our very best when we are closest to Him. There are various scriptures that support that our purpose is to glorify God. And I'm going to go through a lot of little scriptures, but when we get to our main scripture, I'll have that up here. But if you're taking notes, you might just jot down real quick the reference, because I'm going to be mentioning a lot of verses, and I'm not going to have them all up here. But in Psalm 95, 6, it says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before our Maker." This is highlighting the importance of worship in our lives. Revelation 4:11 affirms, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power," reinforcing that worship is a fundamental aspect of our existence. We know that when Adam and Eve were created, they were in a perfect relationship with God. There was nothing that could keep them from His presence. Overall, the Bible teaches that worship is an innate part of our human nature and the way that we connect with God. So we are going to read Psalm 145 this morning. I'm reading out of the NLT, and it'll be up here for you as well. Psalm 145. So if you want to turn there, now's a good time. This is a psalm of praise of David. And it is a psalm that has really just touched my heart as I've been studying for this morning. So I'm going to read it, Psalm 145. "I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forevermore. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all His creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps His promises. He is gracious in all He does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in everything He does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love Him, but He destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless His holy name forever and ever." Wow. What a psalm. What a psalm of praise. Really, this chapter stirs up the kinds of thoughts and feelings about God that I want to have on my mind at all times. David, who sang these psalms, experienced a level of happiness that many of us just do not have, yet we desperately, desperately need. Praise to God is an intentional expression of honor, admiration, and gratitude directed toward Him. It acknowledges His supreme worth, character, and deeds, and can be both verbal and active. To praise God is to declare who He is and what He does, honoring Him for His divine deeds and character. It involves expressing awe, gratitude, and love for God, stemming from an inner sense of appreciation for His attributes and actions. Ultimately, praise is a fundamental aspect of worship and reflects a believer's relationship with God. Guess how many times the word praise is mentioned in the Bible? Anybody have a guess? The word praise as mentioned in the Bible. Oh, well, it's not mentioned that many times, no? Do you say 200, Warren? Okay, that's a little closer. So praise is mentioned 543 times in the Bible. You were going to say 543? Oh, she was going to say 500. I was like, sure you were. 543 times. You know, so I sat at the computer and I was like, how many times is this word in the Bible? How many times is this word? I mean, 543 is quite a bit of times. That's most likely because the book of Psalm, talking about praising God. But I think that needs to be mentioned. The scriptures talk very often about praise. And I would ask, do you ever just get up in the morning and just not feel like it? I said this before. Do you ever just not feel like it? Yeah, you just don't feel like it at all, like anything. Like this morning, for instance, when I said to Stephen, I don't want to. You know, and he was like, I know, I don't want to. I do say that every Sunday, almost. But some days in between, too. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I don't want to praise. I want to think about everything from yesterday that went wrong. I want to start my day. I want to get up and think about the drama that I just had yesterday before I went to bed. Do you say that? I don't think we actually intentionally say that. But when we get up, if we would think about all that we have to praise God for, in those moments, we praise Him and we get our focus on Him. And I believe that we find that something supernatural happens often in our circumstances, but always in our hearts when we praise the Lord, always in our hearts. So I want to take a couple moments to explore why we praise God and why doing it together as a body of Christ is powerful and essential. So first, we worship God for who He is, who He is. This psalm says that He has unmeasurable greatness. He's unchanging, faithful, righteous, merciful, compassionate, slow to anger, full of love. He's a provider, a protector. He's dependable, generous, and kind, to name a few. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." In fact, when he looks at all of creation, he says, it's good. He saw what He made was good, showing that it reflected the nature of God. It was made to bring Him glory. He's eternal in everything He created. He created to worship Him. And in Hebrews 13:8, Scripture says, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So nothing is different. We worship Him. He is the same. He never changes. We still glorify Him. Worship begins with recognizing God's eternal character, not our circumstances. Secondly, we worship God for what He has done. What He has done. Verse 11 says that the faithful followers, they will tell of the glory of Your kingdom, and they will speak of Your might. And Psalm 103:2-5 says, praise the Lord and forget not all His benefits. This is calling us to recall and celebrate the countless blessings bestowed to us by God. We should, as believers, have a perpetual gratitude and reverence, a recounting and celebrations of all that God has done. That should be our heart's desire. In fact, I think the greatest gift to tell what God has done is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. He gave His Son for each and every one of us in this place. Before we were even born, He gave His Son for you, for me. And we worship God because of what He has done, from the creation to the cross, to our personal stories of rescue. Are there any journalers in here? Does anyone journal regularly, semi-regularly? I see a few hands. Yeah, I see a few hands. Well, I personally have a lot of journals. a lot of them, and they're so cute, and just I have all different ones. People gift them to me all the time. And the problem is that they're all blank, but I still want them. Like, I still love journals, but they're all blank. And some of you may see I tore out a couple of pages, right? I got started, I had all these great intentions, and then I came back later, and I get fixated on mistakes. I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. I'll just tear at the page so I can start fresh and start over. But a lot of my journals are blank because I don't write these things down. But Stephen, he has several journals. I don't think he's an active journaler. But when we were church planting in our early days, he intentionally kept a record of things that were going on in our church planting days. So we'd have a hard day, and he would talk about it. But then he'd talk about how he saw God come through through our prayers and how he showed up in our circumstances. And so he can look back, and he can see all these wonderful things that God has done. So if you don't do that, I would encourage you to jot things down. You don't have to be the typical journaler and write stories and stories and stories. But it is refreshing when you try to write down all that God has done in your life. And, you know, as I'm getting older, I know my memory isn't as keen as it once was. And so I know that it will be nice to be able to look back and recall that. So right now, if you're going through something, write it down. Write it down. Write how God is showing up, even in the midst of hard circumstances. We've just got to get it down. And so the next thing I want to talk about is not just what he's done, but I think this is very important. We're going to talk about we worship God for what he is doing now. Right? So we are so blessed. We serve a living God. Our God is alive and active, and he desires a relationship with his people. He rose from the grave, and so he is alive. So we aren't worshiping an image or a thought or a picture of our God. We serve a God who is alive and active, working in our lives each and every day. And what's really encouraging is that because God is alive, he inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22, 3 through 5 says, "But holy are you who inhabits the praise of Israel." Israel, his people, and we are his people, and he inhabits the praises of his people. To inhabit means that he lives in, he stands in, he dwells in, he makes his place in the presence of our praise. That's powerful. To think that when we are even singing this morning all these songs and praise to God, that he is here, he is with us, he is in this room because we are praising him. And he wants to meet with us personally. We serve a God who wants to meet with each and every one of us. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom that is found in praising God in our circumstances. So we can experience freedom from bondage and oppression, worry, anxiety, addiction, sickness, grief, loneliness, and on and on and on. Fear. I think fear is a common one. We can experience freedom in praise to God. David and Saul, there's a story where Saul was oppressed by a spirit. And David would come, he would play an instrument, and the spirit would leave Saul because God's presence was on David's life, and his praise to God brought freedom that was felt even in Saul's life. Paul and Silas in Acts 16 were in prison, and what did they do? They were praising God, and then an earthquake shook the whole prison, and it actually opened the doors. But what it did is that praise, it made a way for salvation for the guard at the prison. There is freedom in our praise. And sometimes we have to press in because we're going through impossible situations. And sometimes even more impossible situations. We don't have all the answers, and we just don't know what to do. But David says, "All my soul, all that is in me, let me praise the Lord." And scripture tells us where the presence of God is, that there is joy. And we should praise God and forget not all his benefits. Growing up in church, if any of you grew up in church, you might have recognized the song from Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's from Psalms. We rejoice in each and every day because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we know that God has given us good and perfect gifts, and we should praise him for it. Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So when we praise, it can cause joy to come. It can cause joy to bubble up inside of us. We can find laughter in the presence of God despite our circumstances. And Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bones." So studies of laughter actually show that laughter helps with healing, mental and physical. It relaxes our body, it boosts our immune system, releases endorphins, protects the heart, releases anger, and helps you to live longer. But the joy that we have isn't just laughter. It's the laughter that comes from having joy in the Lord. So when we experience these things, we're experiencing them in a supernatural way, above and beyond any science that has shown that laughter is beneficial. We also have the presence of God in our life stirring up our heart. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." It is our strength. So why do we think that Satan tries to squish our joy, steal it away? Because we can overcome when we're strong. And when we are praising him, we become spiritually strong because we can find strength in the joy that comes from him inhabiting our praises. Psalm 4:7 says, "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound." We can get more out of praising than having all the money, the best vacation, a perfect family, the perfect job, everything going well in our lives. We can have more joy in our heart just because we know the presence of God. There is fullness of joy in his presence. And the good thing is that the joy that comes from his presence is the joy that lasts. It is a lasting joy. Exodus 33:14 says, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." So where his presence is, there is rest, there is peace. There is rest in God's presence. So when he inhabits our praises, we can experience supernatural rest in him. There's power in worshiping God in both our personal and public lives. And I want us to focus on the importance of our corporate worship. When we come here together in the mornings, when we get to praise God together, which I am well aware, worship can be kind of an uncomfortable thing for some people. And so it does take some getting used to. And sometimes, you know, people might skirt in after worship time because they're like, "I don't want to sing out loud next to people. It's kind of creepy." Yeah, I mean, worship is sometimes something we have to do and push. It is because we have to be vulnerable, right? We have to be vulnerable, and vulnerability is hard in any situation, but when you're singing, maybe you don't think you have the best singing voice, so you don't want to sing. It can be a little vulnerable, but there is so much benefit that comes when we, as a body of believers, come together and worship together. Verse 7 of Psalm 145 says, "One generation commends your works to another." And verse 11 says that they will speak of your glory and give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds. Worship is not just personal. It starts personal, but it is meant to be communal as well. We need each other in this place. We need to come in here. You have no idea how much your praise of what God has done, you sharing what God has done in your life, can be such a blessing to someone else. And so we have to come together and praise him, because what praising together does is that it unites generations, it heals division, it reinforces truth. Praise is contagious, and it does. It encourages one another. So if you feel down when you come in here, praise. If you feel discouraged when you come in here, praise him. Praise him. Push in and say, God, I know that where I worship you, you inhabit the praises of your people. It brings me joy. It brings me strength and rest, and it encourages us together. You can heal in this place, heal our hearts. Lord, we praise you. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says that we should not neglect to meet together, but encourage one another. It's important that we come here and we are together so we can encourage one another. When I talk to my friends who say, well, you know, I'm a believer, but I don't go to church. I say, oh, I hope you can find a church that you love, because I know personally when I come to church, when I worship with my church family, when I talk to them and share with them what I'm going through, I feel so encouraged by them and their stories and the strength they have, and it's life-changing to me. And so I encourage you to keep coming, pressing in. Acts 2, 46 through 47, this is the first century church. It says the early church worshiped daily. And what happened? God added to their number. That's powerful. God added to their number, because when we are praising God, when we're going through things, but we are praising him through the storm, through our imperfection, through our messiness, when we are praising him, people can see genuine praise of God and go, wow, I want some of that. You know, I want to experience that. I want to press in. I want to know that God. That God seems alive. That's not what I'm experiencing in my spirituality. I don't experience a living God like that who makes me want to praise that way. People were added as they continue to praise together each and every day. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and share it with one another. What do we do? Like when we want to know like a recommendation or something like that, you know, often I get on social media and say, hey, can you recommend a good painter? Can you recommend a good landscaper? That's what we do, right? We ask for people's advice. Maybe, hey, I'm looking for a new restaurant to go to. Get on social media or ask a friend. Ask a friend, hey, we're going to go on a date. Do you recommend anywhere new that I haven't been? We ask others. So to me, this is what the church does, right? We say, hey, I know Jesus and I have a relationship with him. And he gives me joy and peace and freedom and rest in his presence. And I highly recommend that you meet my Jesus. We get a lot of responses on social media, so I want to make sure I am giving my friends the best recommendation. That is Jesus. Jesus is what makes a difference. Praising corporately gives us an opportunity to tell one another how great our Savior is to us. Praising together reminds us what is most important and how blessed we are. And praising changes hearts and minds and turns them towards Christ. And this is what our response should be to Psalm 145 today, is that we should live a life of praise. Praise is not just a song, it's a lifestyle. And as I've been preparing for this morning, I've been doing a lot of praising in the morning. It's the first thing that I do. And then on my car ride into work, I just praise him. I just thank him for everything that he has done. I just name off over and over. I thank him for you and each of you. And I thank you for what I've seen God doing in your lives and what he's doing in my family's life and what he does for First Century and what he's doing in my workplace. I just thank him and praise him. And you know what? It makes a difference. I promise you. So if you're not starting your day with praise, I encourage you to praise. Christopher Ashe in his commentary on Psalms says, if you do not worship him, can you possibly know him? If we know him and we have an intimate relationship with him, there is nothing that can keep us from praising him, for all his goodness, when we hear about him in Scripture, when Stephen preaches each and every Sunday on the characters of God and how he's moving, that is the God we are serving. He parted the waters, but he's still parting waters in our lives in different ways. We have to worship him. Psalm 145, 21 says, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." And Romans 12:1 says, "Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice." This is our true and proper worship. We are created to praise and to offer our bodies. We sang that it's his breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. It's his breath. He gave us breath and life, and so we pour out our praise. We lavish our love on him. John 4:23 through 24 says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Our praise and worship cannot just be lip service or going through the motions, but our worship must be genuine and deep from deep within our heart and our minds. It's got to be the posture of our life. We worship God because of who he is and what he has done and continues to do, and we worship together to strengthen and to proclaim. So let us live a life of praise to our God and King. And I want to close with a story real quick. Stephen, if you'd like to come and play. The story, I've read a couple stories that really touched my heart. And I think that they'll touch yours too. I'm going to read just this one story. Andrew Brunson was held in a Turkish prison for 2 years. It was not too long ago, 2016 to 2018. Since his release, he shared openly his profound feelings of abandonment and brokenness that he felt in prison. He was even concerned that he might be losing his mind. He was separated from his wife and children and didn't know what would happen to him or to them. But in prison, he made a determination to praise God and even to dance. He got the idea from Richard Wurmbrand, who practiced literal obedience to the command of Jesus to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad and to leap for joy when you're persecuted. So Pastor Brunson decided to obey Christ and do it as a discipline, not out of any feelings, because he said he didn't feel any happiness. He didn't feel any joy at all. This was a matter of obeying the words of Jesus. He says, "I began every day to set aside 5 minutes in prison, as I would start out by saying, 'I repent that I have not been joyful. Now I'm going to perform an act of joy. I'm going to be glad before you in these terrible circumstances. I am separated from my wife and children. I don't know what is going to happen to me, and I'm isolated and in prison, but I am going to rejoice.'" He said, "Then I would begin to dance, and I would hop around. I would leap. I would dance before God every day as a discipline. Then I would say, 'Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven.'" In prison, 2 years, not too long ago, a pastor who was kept from his wife and his children chose every single day for 5 minutes to praise God in his circumstances. If Andrew can do it in prison for 2 years in those circumstances, we can do it too. What is keeping, if you are having a hard time praising God, ask yourself, what is keeping me from living a life of praise? God's bigger than that. He can handle it. Psalm 156 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." It's your breath in my lungs, oh God. Would you stand with me this morning? Just want you to think of something you're thankful for. And just out loud, you just say, "God, I just thank you. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for providing. I thank you that I'm not alone. I thank you that when I'm afraid, I can run to you, that you're my refuge. Oh God, I'm so tired, but I know that you're my rest, and I praise you for that rest. And Lord, I know that in you, my strength is found. So when I feel weak, Lord God, I can call on you. I thank you that you inhabit our praises. Just tell him, I thank you for providing through my job. I thank you for giving me a good friend. I thank you so much for giving me patience in a circumstance I've been waiting on an answer for. I thank you, Lord, that I can trust in you. I thank you that you always show up and that I'm never alone. I worship you and I praise you and I thank you. I love you. I love you, Lord. God, we thank you for your word this morning, that it challenges us and helps us to do better. Let our worship not stop when the music ends, but fill our lives with praise. Help us to worship together, to strengthen one another, and proclaim your greatness to all generations. Give us resolute hearts like David and Andrew Brunson to praise you every day, no matter what life looks like or feels like. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.